But we'll see how that happens. But if not, you do have a Bible. I'm pretty confident you got a Bible. Praise the Lord. And open it up to Luke chapter number 11. If you don't have your leather-bound Bible or your imitation leather-bound Bible, maybe you've got your plastic-coated Bible or your smart Bible, which is your smartphone with the Bible on it. Amen. Whichever one you have, I'm trusting it's King James Version. Praise the Lord. If not, then come to the altar and we'll pray about that for a little while. Praise our God. I do believe you've been attending Calvary Lighthouse Church long enough to know that we believe in the King James Version as the inspired version and the inspired Word of God. Hallelujah. The infallible Word of God. And it is reproof and correction and instruction. Amen. We preached this morning, and it was brought about during the course of sharing in chapel this morning. We were talking about how that the score key lets us know what the right answer is. And I just picked it up and said, here's God's score key. This lets you know what the right answer is. It lets us know the ways of life and what's right in the sight of God and what's pleasing unto God. And it is what we will be scored by or judged by, God's Word. Hallelujah. Luke chapter number 11, and I want to read verse number 1 for our opening text here this evening. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Amen. You can be seated again this evening. Keep your Bible open there to Luke chapter 11. I'm going to share some more verses there, and we'll also be going to Matthew chapter 6. But I want to preach tonight. The title that I've given this message tonight is called Prayer Revealed. Amen. You'll notice the disciples said, teach us to pray. Amen. That lets me know a few things about the disciples. Number one, they didn't know how to pray. Amen. Question here tonight, do you know how to pray? I can remember there was a time in my life I really didn't know how to pray. I had never really prayed my entire life. I had never really engaged in prayer. I had quoted prayers. I had quoted the Lord's Prayer, and that's where we're going to begin here tonight. But, you know, quoting the Lord's Prayer is a wonderful thing. It's just the same as quoting Psalms 23. It's not really a prayer that you and I really need to be praying, because prayer is something that we do on a personal plane with God. It's not something that we just pick up and quote and we're done. This is the pattern of prayer. That was the question the disciples presented unto Jesus Christ. Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So they were looking on, and picture this in your mind. Jesus is the one praying. The disciples are the ones watching. Is there something wrong with that picture? It is evident it's early in Jesus' ministry. It's evident that it's early in the disciples' following of Jesus Christ, because later on we find Jesus asked them, could you not pray with me for an hour? So at this point, they hadn't been taught how to pray yet. They didn't understand how to pray. And so Jesus began to teach them and train them and give them the pattern of their relationship with God and their avenue whereby they could pray unto the Father. But we find that Jesus here is praying, and he's probably, just imagine in your mind, they're watching him pray, and I believe they're amazed at what's going on. Because Jesus Christ is fellowshipping with the Father. Jesus Christ is finding strength from above. Jesus Christ is finding power to overcome the natural man. Jesus Christ is entering in to a sharing of his heart, his mind, and his soul with God the Father. And the disciples are watching, and I believe they are amazed at what is going on here with Jesus' relationship with the Heavenly Father. And so it's not only are they wanting him to show them how to pray, but they're wanting to find that same thing that he's finding. They're wanting to experience the same thing he's experiencing in his time of prayer. Wow. Hallelujah. And so Jesus, he begins to give them the pattern of prayer. In Luke chapter number 11, and this is our pattern also. And believe it or not, I've actually encountered people that when they pray, they don't follow the pattern. And don't misunderstand me. If you don't follow the pattern, that's fine. But after I preach this tonight, you probably need to start following the pattern. Because it's the pattern Jesus Christ set down. It's the criteria for how we enter into the presence of a holy God. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You start out acknowledging the holiness of God. You start out acknowledging that God is far, far above my comprehension and my worthiness to even approach. Hallelujah. Hallowed be thy name, that thy name would be honored above every name on the face of the earth. In other words, entering into prayer with the attitude and the reality of who I am now engaging conversation with. Hallelujah. I'm engaging conversation with the Almighty Holy God of heaven. Hallelujah. And I could not do this if it were not for the blood of Jesus Christ giving me that position and that power to enter there. But even though I have that position and that power and that availability, I'm still coming with honor and praise and exalting him high above anything and everything I can imagine or think. Wow. I'm not talking to the buddy I know down the street. Woo. Jesus is the best friend I've ever had, the greatest friend I've ever had. But when I'm approaching God the Father, I am approaching the glory, woo, the majesty, the pomp, hallelujah, of heaven, the creator of all things. Hallelujah. The one that has brought so great a salvation into my life. So hallelujah. So Jesus is giving us the pattern of prayer to prep us and prepare our minds of who we're communicating with. Hallelujah. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Your next mind frame is surrender. Your next mind frame is, God, not my will, but your will being done. You see, that doesn't come at the end of your prayer. That comes at the beginning of your prayer. Hallelujah. That comes with an acknowledging to the Holy God of heaven. As we are now entering into prayer and we're exalting him above all things, we are humbling ourselves before him and acknowledging that the only way anything's going to go great and wonderful and full of peace and power in my life is if his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. What he wants done in heaven, I'm going to perform here on earth. Woo, hallelujah. You are setting yourself up for a powerful prayer meeting right here and a powerful encounter with God, because you're getting God in the position he belongs and we're getting ourselves in the position we belong. Woo! When you get that happening in your life is going to transform and you're going to see prayers answered before your very eyes. Hallelujah. But if you're coming to God, expect God to do what you want, when you want, how you want it, and expect him to do it and bend over backwards for you, you're going to be waiting a while. You're not going to see results. Here's the pattern. When we follow the pattern, we see the results. Hallelujah. See, this is prayer revealed. This is power revealed. This is peace revealed. This is God's love revealed. Hallelujah. And so now we're putting God in the position He belongs. We're putting ourselves in the position we belong. And verse number 3 says, give us day by day our daily bread. We're finding, we're placing ourselves. This is, believe it or not, this is surrender. Lord, You're my provider. Daily bread, whether you take it as the word of God or substance for the body. This is an acknowledgement that God, You are my provider. You are the one that takes care of me. It's also, as we know the scriptures now, it's also the reality, I'm seeking the kingdom of God first and its righteousness, and my daily bread will follow. Hallelujah. And so we see then this is the pattern. Now, getting our mind, if you will, getting our mind off carnal things, acknowledging the reality, God is taking care of me. Hallelujah. So I don't have to worry. I don't have to fret about these natural things, so I can move on in to greater spiritual things in this time of prayer with my God. And then His next pattern is, and forgive us our sins. You realize that's in the pattern for prayer? You realize then that's kind of actually a daily surveying of my heart and of my soul when I'm entering into prayer. Are you getting the picture how actually prayer is going to take a little bit of time? Prayer is going to take a little bit of effort because, number one, you're entering into worship. I didn't mention that just a little bit earlier, but worship, you're exalting God. You're humbling yourself. You're entering into worship here. Hallelujah. You're wanting God's will to be done. You're worshiping Him as the Creator. You're worshiping Him as your Lord, as the Director of your life. Hallelujah. And you're relinquishing your anxieties and your fears unto Him, knowing because that you belong to Him, then He's going to take care of you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. And now you're surveying, okay, how have I been acting? What kind of attitude have I been conducting? How well have I been treating my fellow man? How well have I been treating my brothers and my sisters? How well have I been treating my husband? How well have I been treating my wife? How well have I been treating my children? The children, how well have I been treating my parents? Am I fulfilling everything that I know I need to be doing? Forgive us of our sins. Hallelujah. You realize there's sins of commission. So that's when you do something that's sin. And then there's sins of omission. That's when you don't do something you're supposed to do. And then the Bible talks about iniquity. And iniquity is just thinking about sin. No wonder He put it in the pattern of prayer. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, or we forgive other people's sins. Whoa. You see, because if we don't forgive other people their sins, then we're not going to get forgiveness for our sins. So this is a very important part of prayer time. It's making sure I'm right with God and making sure I'm right with man. Wow. You realize most people, this probably never crosses their mind when they enter into prayer. All they're concerned about is their petition. You see, God has spoken to us. He says, I hear your prayers. That speaks fathoms to me because that only not means that He's hearing what I'm praying. That means I'm following this pattern. I'm following this pattern when I pray, or He'd not be hearing my prayers. Woo, hallelujah. Praise be to our God. See, I mean, we've got to understand there's always a right way for all the things of God. And this is the pattern Jesus Christ is laying down. Hallelujah. It says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, we understand that God is not tempted by sin. And we understand that God's not going to lead us into temptation. But this is a pattern to keep us aware that we have an adversary. Hallelujah. So basically, it's saying lead us in the paths of righteousness. Hallelujah. Lead us in the right ways to go, because by that, temptation will not take hold and evil will not prevail. Hallelujah. That is actually a statement of the guidance of an almighty God in my daily affairs. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, that's why we encourage everyone to start your day with prayer. Start your day with fellowship with God. Hallelujah. And that's what we shared in chapel this morning. Building that relationship with God. Fellowshipping with God. Communicating with God. Hallelujah. And without communication, there will be no relationship. There'll be no relationship with God if there is no communication with God, if there is no worship of God, if there is no exaltation of God, if there is no humbling of myself, there'll be no relationship with God. You see, you can know about God, you can experience God, but still not have a relationship with God. That's correct, because a relationship takes fellowship and communication. Hallelujah. A sharing of the heart, a sharing of the soul, a sharing of the mind, a sharing of the burdens, a sharing of the joy, a sharing. Wow. Do you have that kind of relationship with God? Can you share anything and everything about your life with God? That's a relationship. That's a relationship. Are you open with God about everything in your life? Or do you have closed doors? Oh. No. This pattern for prayer is the opening of the doors to God and building that relationship with God. Now in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 15, we find Matthew's rendition of this pattern of prayer. We've just discussed Luke's and read Luke's. Matthew's, it is worded a little bit different, but yet it is saying the same thing. Matthew 6, verse number 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, it goes both ways. I'm not going to receive from God if I'm holding something against somebody else. It just don't work that way. And when I'm ready to let that go and forgive that, then I'm going to have some power and some peace with God. Wow, a lot of people go through very great turmoil in their lives because of something they're holding on to. Towards somebody else. Wow. You think, well, my, everybody ought to know that if you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. Why would people do that? You know, if I could answer that question, I'd probably be a very rich man. If I could give you the answer to why people do what they do, I'd be famous. But I don't know why people do what they do. Sometimes I don't even know why I do what I do. Yeah. But the thing is God's word tells me this is what I must do. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. So here now we've got a little bit extra added to that. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because basically what we're after is the kingdom and the power and the glory of our God resting in our lives. Hallelujah. That kingdom, Jesus spoke to his disciples. He said that kingdom's going to be within you. And that kingdom's going to be within you. And that power's going to be within you. And that glory of God's going to be within you because of prayer. Prayer. That fellowship with God, that relationship with God, that walking with God. Hallelujah. And so we see then, as we begin to enter into a prayer life that is consciously aware of God, not just a dead, dull ritual of prayer, but I'm talking about entering into worship of the Holy God of heaven, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, beginning to exalt them and magnify them and humbling ourselves before him and realizing just how frail we are, how weak we are, and how vulnerable we are, and how much we actually fail before God, but yet God still wants to help us, strengthen us. Put that kingdom in us. Put that power in us. And build us up a holy people, a holy priesthood. Woo, hallelujah. To offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. Hallelujah. That's not just praise and worship. That's worship in every form and fashion. Whether it's lifting your voice and magnifying God, whether it's dancing before the Lord, whether it's running for the victory, hallelujah, whether it's playing that instrument, glory to God, or whether it's witnessing to somebody, sharing Jesus on the street, it's all still part of worship, hallelujah. And this pattern of prayer amplifies that, brings us alive. Verse 14, and of course this is where we get the understanding, because it's added here in the book of Matthew. It says, But if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus simply was telling his disciples, guys, ladies, this is just how it is. This is what you must achieve in your relationship with God. And this is what prayer is all about. This is why you pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now I realize, you probably realize, Jesus was sinless, yet he was still praying. Hallelujah. Jesus was the only begotten Son of the Father. God had already spoke from heaven at the river where John was baptizing. The Holy Spirit had already descended. But yet we find Jesus praying. So if Jesus, who was anointed of the Holy Ghost beyond measure and was getting visitations from the Heavenly Father, voices speaking from the heavens saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased, and he's still praying, I think we need to pray a little bit more. Woo! No, let me rephrase that. I don't think we need to pray a little bit more. I think we need to become more praying this pattern. Taking the time we are praying and turn up the heat. Hallelujah. Turn up the volume. Glory to God. And turn up the power and start entering into that manifest presence of an almighty God by paying attention to how I'm living my life, what I'm doing with my life. Woo! Hallelujah. And making sure that I am following the pattern, not just for prayer, pattern for life. Hallelujah. You see, because now he's given this pattern of prayer, but now he goes into the reality of Luke chapter 11, verse number 5. And he said unto them, which of you having a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, saying to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is on his journey, and he's come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, that's kind of a strange statement, isn't it? Yet because of his importunity will he rise and give him as many as he needeth. Importunity. Some folks would say importunity is not faith. But yet Jesus Christ gave us this story about importunity. And it's not given as an illustration that we're going to make God move by importunity. But it's given that we might have importunity to pray this pattern. That we not grow slack in our pattern of prayer. We keep up the good work of prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not because we pray 101 times is God going to answer. It's going to be because we pray 101 times the pattern of prayer. Keeping ourselves thus in the position where God can move in us and through us. Hallelujah. And so this importunity is not a lever to make God move. It is actually a lever to make me move. To keep praying the way I'm supposed to be praying. Woo, praise our God. Hallelujah. And then Luke chapter 11 verse number 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. So he's expounding here. See, we're moving from the importunity, and now he's expounding on that importunity. He says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And you know, most commentators on this scripture say that these verbs are in the tense of you keep doing it. See, there's your importunity. You keep praying this way. You keep asking this way. You keep seeking this way. Hallelujah. Because this is what God is pleased with. If you're continually pleasing God, heaven's going to rend and God's going to come down and things are going to happen. That's what Jesus is speaking. He said, I mean, if you ask, it'll be given unto you. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. And all these promises hinge upon this pattern of prayer. Not on just you asking. Not on you just seeking. In just limbo. He's referring right back to the pattern of prayer. When you take this pattern in prayer and you begin to ask, you're going to receive. You take this pattern in prayer, you begin to knock, the door is going to be open. You take this pattern of prayer and seek, and you're going to find. But if you try to do it your own way and pray your own way, then there's no promise. Woo. There's no promise when we try to take it all into our own hands and do it our own way. So many times we're guilty of that. But we follow the pattern, and we keep following the pattern, and we keep worshiping. That's why God's been moving in this house. Because we're moving with what He is speaking to us. And we are moving forward in what He is saying. And we are changing, conforming. And that's why He is continuing. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. And so then He speaks on. He said, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? And if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Wow. Now I realize some of us in here are tricksters from time to time, you know. You know. Give somebody a hard-boiled egg for a raw egg, and they try to break it and they can't get it. done. You know what I mean? But Jesus is not really talking about trickster here. He's trying to bring a point that if an earthly father will always make sure provision for his children. If ye then being evil, you realize God just called you evil? If you then being evil, now because we are but flesh, you know, there's no good thing that dwells in us except God. That is the only good thing that dwells in us is God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. That is the only good thing that dwells in us. Hallelujah. And if he's not in us, we're evil for sure. If he then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, where'd that come from? Nowhere in this discourse was he talking about the Holy Ghost until now. He's given them a pattern of prayer to follow. And following that pattern, then there's going to be answers. There's going to be revelations. There's going to be visions of God. God's going to move on your behalf. And in this process of this pattern of prayer, this is how you're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost too. Hallelujah. Because you're entering into the presence of God, and you're entering in with humility, you're entering in with teachableness, you're entering in to do whatever he wants done. You got to realize when he's saying ask, seek, knock, he's talking about spiritual revelation. He's talking about spiritual growth. He's talking about spiritual strength. He's talking about victory and power in your lives. And more or less, if you will, when he ends in verse 13, he says, oh, and by the way, this is all going to happen by the Holy Ghost. Woo! That's what he was sharing with the disciples. They had no idea how this was all going to transpire until the day of Pentecost came. And then all this, and that's what Jesus told them, when the Comforter's come, you'll remember everything that I've taught you. You'll remember everything I've shared with you. And you can rest assured, when they got filled with the Spirit of God, they remembered this pattern of prayer. They remembered how he taught them how to pray and how the power of prayer was going to prevail in their lives when they began to follow that pattern under the leading of the Holy Ghost of God. Woo, hallelujah. How many of you go on and you read in the Bible, we don't know how we should pray, but the Spirit of God, he will pray for us. Hallelujah. He will speak through us. Paul said, I speak in tongues and I of angels, and I speak in tongues more than you all. Tongues is for prayer. Tongues is for power. Tongues is for personal edification, or it can be one of the gifts of the Spirit. Message in tongues and interpretation. You can rest assured when you break through in your time of prayer and you are praying in an unknown tongue, you're praying aright. You're praying what God's wanting done. Hallelujah. And if you keep praying, you're going to find out what he wants done in you too. Because sometimes we don't know what needs to be done in us. But we keep praying in tongues and we keep entering into the presence of God, all of a sudden we're going to begin to hear. We're going to begin to find. We're going to begin to get that answer. Hello. To those things we've been asking, but to get that answer, he's going to ask us a question first. Will you follow me? How bad do you want the answer? How bad do you want God to move in your situation, your circumstances, or your personal life? Then there will always be that question, will you follow me? You realize a lot of times when Jesus was asked of someone, he said, according to your faith, be ye whole. A lot of times we look at that and we think, okay, we got to have that kind of faith. But really, if you want to look at it in its fullness and a simple understanding, he was saying, will you follow me? Because that's the greatest display of faith you'll ever find. When you're ready to drop whatever you're doing and follow Jesus and do it his way. That's the greatest faith you'll ever have in your entire life. That is the faith that will move mountains. Hallelujah. See, faith is linked to willingness all the time. But what we've done in these last days is we've separated. And we're trying to produce a faith. What James say? Faith without works is dead. Faith is only linked to my willingness to obey. My willingness to follow. Woo, hallelujah. This is where power is found, church. The willingness to follow God Almighty. And that is what will bring power down upon our lives and upon the lives of others. Willingness to follow. Hallelujah. And so he closes his pattern of prayer speaking about how God the Father is anxious and ready to give the Holy Spirit to them that are ready to follow him. Praise our God. That's all it takes. A willingness to follow God. I'm going to close with some excerpts here from some different individuals. So whoever's coming to the piano, you can make your way back. It says, if Christians spend as much time praying as they do grumbling, they would soon have nothing to grumble about. Ooh, that one's just anonymous. I can see why. Prayer. Secret, fervent, believing prayer lies at the root of all personal godliness. Your life and spirituality is 100% linked to your prayer life. If your prayer life is weak, so is your spirituality. You can't be strong in the Spirit without fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, without a prayer life following this pattern. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Faith. Willingness to pray. Just humbling the heart, kneeling down, is faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. And Satan trembles. Be not forgetful of prayer. Every time you pray, if your prayer is sincere, there will be new feeling and new meaning in it, which will give you fresh courage, and you will understand that prayer is an education. I like that. Because really, if you have moved into this pattern of prayer, you will come from it educated. By the Spirit of God. These are good. I didn't come up with all these. These are other men of days gone by. No man ever prayed heartily without learning something. We're not told that Jesus ever taught his disciples how to preach, but he taught them how to pray. He wanted them to have power with God, then he knew they would have power with man. That was D.L. Moody. Prayer is the Godward reach of a man's soul. And I'm going to close with this one. Neglect of private prayer is the locust that devours the strength of the church. And that was Charles Spurgeon. We sing about prayer. We know there's power in prayer, but I'm afraid so many times we don't tap into it. We just talk about it because we know it's real. We know there's power in prayer. But I've got to tap into that power. And I believe, thoroughly believe, that simply following Jesus' pattern of prayer that he gave to his disciples will begin to produce a difference in our lives personally, which then produces a difference corporately, which then produces a difference randomly everywhere. Wow. You see, that's what happened in the early church. They tapped in to the pattern of prayer, which means they tapped into the power of God and the leading of God. And the Bible says that they turned the world upside down. Glory. And all they did was walk with God. All they did was surrender themselves to the Lord. All they did was allow God to shape them, mold them, and use them. Wherever they were at, whatever they were doing, praising God and honoring him and hallowing his name. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's how they could be called Christians for the first time at Antioch. And it wasn't the believers that gave them the name. It was the unbelievers that gave them that name, because they saw their behavior, and their behavior was that of Jesus Christ. And thus, they began to call them Christians, because the pattern of their lives that they were seeing before them replicated Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as they had been preaching. Glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb. So yes, there's power in prayer, and prayer is one of the most important parts of a believer's life. Whether it be corporate prayer around these altars, time of church, whether it be our closet of prayer, whether it be our prayer time in the woods, or prayer time in the pasture, or prayer time in the car, that prayer needs to go further than just the little bit of area we're occupying. We've got to reach it all the way into the presence of a holy God. Hallelujah. And allow the Spirit of God to take us there. To take us there. Hallelujah. Let's stand together tonight.